Okay, can you hear me back there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, good morning, and thank you for coming. And really, I'd like to start with some thanks for all the organization that goes into Fosden. So, I'm going to talk about a technology that goes back to the late 1960s and has essentially stayed current and continues to evolve to this day. So this is from my company, the obligatory marketing slide. I'm not going to go into it. So the first database was actually not a SQL database. It was something called IMS. It ran on the mainframe, and it was put together to manage the bill of materials for the Saturn V rocket and the Apollo moon program. And it was a key value database, because the key value database is the most general type of database, and it was programmed in IBM 360 machine language. And then there was MUMPS, which is Massachusetts University, Massachusetts General Hospital Utility Multi-Programming System. So if you can say that, without needing to breathe through the whole process, you get a beer. But it came out of an animal science lab, and it was also a key value database. It ran on a PDP-7. Which also was the machine that the first Unix ran on. So it's a good heritage that way. And it was a complete database machine. So you booted the machine, it ran MUMPS. MUMPS is the operating system. There was no separate file system, it was the database. And the only way to exit MUMPS was to shut down the machine. And the key value database is basically key value tuples. So essentially, if you think of a tuple, there's a hierarchical key, and there is one single value. So in this case, a key can be capital followed by a country followed by a city. And at least in MUMPS, it's always sorted. So one of the sayings in the MUMPS community is MUMPS means you never have to say you're sorting, because everything is always sorted. The database is also completely schemaless. So what that means is that you can mix the values and the keys can be numbers, they can be strings, they can be just binary blobs. And essentially, there's a default sorting order for every key, which is that the empty string collates first, and then canonical numbers collate after that, and then anything else that's not a canonical number collates in byte order. And one of the things is that you can change this, you can customize it, but this is the default sorting order. And the first key, that's something that always has, there's some rules, it has to be alphanumeric, but other keys can be pretty much anything. And the schema is determined entirely by the application programmer and not by the database. And you can mix key sizes. So basically, this is a little bit like playing poker on a boat and all wet cards are wild, so you can pretty much put any number or any string has any key except the first one. And there's this similarity to it's a tree. So basically, you can take those key values and you can make them look like array references, where in those keys, the first key is like a variable, the other keys are like subscripts, and then the value is the value. And this basically is a paradigm which is very familiar to programmers. Every programmer in the world knows how to program arrays. And this also looks like a tree. And the difference, it's kind of like a JSON tree or an XML tree, but the difference between a MUMPS tree and a JSON tree is that in MUMPS, you can have a value at the root of a subtree as well as the nodes of a subtree, which you can't do in JSON. And the concept is, basically, one of the things about MUMPS is they tried to keep things simple because it ran on a PDP-7, which is not a very powerful computer, and 4 kilobytes of memory. So you have variables which are called local variables, which are there only for the lifetime of the process, and then you have database accesses. So if you see the little caret in front of the variable name, that makes it into a database access, which is now shared across processes. It's persistent. Anything that doesn't have a caret basically is private to the process and disappears at the end of the process lifetime. And the language standard was very simple. So the power was the language and the database were tightly bound. Remember, you booted the computer, if you type anything, that's a database access. And so there are only some simple commands, simple set of functions, and then there are, you know, what are called intrinsic special variables, which are certain characteristics, like, you know, to set an error trap, you basically set a value to $ETRAP, and then that string gets executed. Now, one of the interesting things about the standard is that the standard recognizes that here's a standard, here are all the things that implementations can do which can be non-standard. So now if you're writing code, you know exactly how to write code that is portable across implementations. Plus you also know that if you want to port code, it tells you exactly what you need to look at. So anything that starts with a Z, or anything that there are these job parameters and device parameters, those are the things you have to look at. Everything else is portable. So here's the real power. Any database update is just a variable access. And because of the fact that that the keys and values can be anything, you can have, like in this case, you can say customer 1234 is Martin Luther King, and then you can add a subscript and say birthday is given the birthday. And there's also database accesses like $order is the give me the next subscript at this level. You can also, set a local variable like next customer to customer with account ID, and in this case, account ID is a local variable. So database accesses are nothing other than simple programming statements. So the seamless coupling between a simple language and a simple database is where the real power of bumps lies. And the other thing is it just sort of works without any fuss. You know, you just start using it and it works. So where are we today? So today, mumps is kind of an inside joke in the healthcare environment where it started. And if you can imagine the CIO of a bank going to the board of directors saying, we've chosen our future programming language and it's mumps, it's kind of like having mustard stains in your tie when you're making a presentation. So it became an ISO standard, and the ISO standard name is M. And today, the world's largest real-time core banking systems and medical record systems use M databases. So the largest bank here in the Benelux, actually their core system runs on an M database. And there is an electronic health record system which the entire country of Jordan is using. So that also runs on an M database. And where the industry is, there's one major proprietary implementation. And there are two major related FOSS implementations. One is GTM. I actually led GTM from 1995 to 2017. And was responsible for open sourcing it in 2001. Before that, it had a proprietary license. And then in 2017, I left and started YottaDB as a downstream database to take it beyond where the original M and GTM were. So where are we today also? The M language standard was abandoned by the major proprietary implementation, which kind of, I think, in retrospect was good. And the other thing is that, with the M language, a language is kind of like a religion to a programmer, right? I'm happy to change my religion. I'm going to change my programming language, but you go first, right? And the other thing is that C has kind of become a lingua franca of computing. So when we started YottaDB, our vision was to say the database is more important than the language. Okay, the language is important, but the database is more important. And you need to have the seamless coupling between the language and the database. That is a very powerful concept. So we extended that to other languages. And what we did was we created, there's the core database, and what you see in orange is the original M language. We also created a C API. So you basically do a pound sign include, and then you have C functions. And then once you have C, then you have pretty much any other language, because every language in the world knows how to call C. So we have APIs for a number of other languages. And by the way, since the key value paradigm is the simplest paradigm, we also have a SQL layer that goes on top of it, and you can map the key value to SQL tables. So that's what the C API looks like. And because of the fact that you could write APIs for other languages, Lua is another